apologies for the delay. When I posted the last three entries, my grandpa was elated. We spent too much time going over the comments, and it brought him joy that I haven't seen in a long time. His health took a brief turn for the worst in the recent weeks, and he made me promise to not post any more transcriptions of our conversations without him being able to sit down with me and watch the comments roll in, so I kept that promise. Luckily, he's back to where he was when we started this whole thing, which still isn't great, but it's better than he has been recently. So I'm proud to present the fourth impossible case. It's not always people, you know. The impossible ones weren't limited to just people. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe we caught a call, suspected murder had taken place. Mail had filled up the mailbox. Eventually, someone called the police for a wellness check. Well, some uniforms go to check. They look through the window, and they see blood on the living room carpet and the walls. They go in, clear the house. We get called. I remember the phone call. It's the same as the calls from the impossible cases. Yeah, we know it's another one, but we get, so. You can always tell how crappy our day was going to be by the tone of voice of whoever called us. It was me and a temporary partner I had, this guy, Malloy. He'd come over from across the state, but like every detective, he was familiar with the impossible ones. Though he said that at his last shop, they were referred to as the unexplained. Different name, same mind-boggling bullshit. Anyway, so we pull up at the house and we find everyone standing outside. Get outside of the car, thinking they're just trying to preserve the scene. And then we see everyone is really on edge. Jumping when we shut the doors, staring at the ground, you know, just acting real antsy. We ask them what's going on. No one says a word. Go around asking if the house has been cleared. Finally, uniformed, looks like his first day on the job, nods his head a bit. Malloy and I go into the house, you know. Looks normal, just a normal suburban house. There's a stain on the living room carpet. It's very clearly blood. Made all the more obvious by the fact there was blood dripping from the ceiling. Yeah. You ever see a ceiling with flood damage? It looks like dropping a feather on it from some other side is going to make it come crashing down. That's how the spot above the stain was. It was dark and it was red. It looked thin as wet tissue. But obviously, I think there must have been a body upstairs. And based on the call we got and how the folks outside were acting, we were expecting something real, something real gruesome. So we go upstairs, figure out which room the stain is below. And then when we walk in, there's nothing. It was normal. About 2 seconds after we open the door, that's when we first hear it. Tap, 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 tap. The best way I can describe it, it's like they're tapping their pinky, and half a second later, their ring finger, and their middle finger, index, thumb, boom, 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 real fast. Malou and I, we both spin around. Sounded like someone was tapping on the wall in the room across the hall from one of the ones we were in. And now the door to that room is closed. So we'd been informed that this woman, she lived by herself. Didn't have any kids, no husband. And not even any family that lived in the state, so there shouldn't be anyone else there. Malou and I draw our weapons. Start doing the whole open the door, show us your hands, yada yada, you know, that thing. No one responds. We stand there long enough with our weapons pointed at the wall. I was pointing at the door. Malloy had his train on the wall. We stand there long enough, I don't hear anything back. I start to wonder if we heard something from the others, like from maybe outside or something. And the unis had cleared the house. Never done us wrong before, but with how weird they were acting, we wanted to be sure. Just as I start to take a step to pass Malloy and move towards the other room, we hear it again. Tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Only this time it sounds like it's from the room on the other side of the wall from the one we're in. You know, on the same side of the hall, just a door down. I yell out, "Police! Step out of the hallway with your hands up!" And again, no response. Tap, 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 tap. This one comes from the opposite wall from the previous one, which would put whoever was doing it on the stairs leading upstairs. Malloy was still standing in the doorway, so he took a step and leaned over to take a look. He looked over at me and he shook his head. There wasn't anyone there. Next set of taps, same pattern, come from above us, like in the attic. Then higher up on the wall by the stairs, then down the hall, then from underneath my feet, like someone was tapping on the ceiling in the living room, then back on the wall in the opposite room, over and over and over and over and over. It sounded like a miniature stampede was happening all around us. It lasted about 30 seconds, then as quickly as it started, it just stopped. And Malloy and I, we stood there for a good 10 minutes, guns up, arms aching, wondering what the hell was going on. We both finally calmed down enough to act rationally. We went through and we cleared the house again. Attic, top floor, ground floor, basement. We did it ourselves just to make sure that it got done thoroughly, and there was no one. House was empty. Except for us. Then we have to deal with the fact that the ceiling and living room is leaking blood, but there doesn't seem to be a source. Bathroom, where the leak should have been, where the body should have been. There's a throw rug in there. You know, over like over the hardwood floor. So you move the rug. There's this little door type thing, I guess you'd call it. A little door in the floor. It's the size of a pack of cigarettes. It's a hinge. It's flush with the floor. I open it. I shine a flashlight in. There's nothing in there. There's no source of where the blood could be coming from. Even after we had some guy come in and take out the floorboards, I took out the insulation. It was dry. Material they made up the ceiling, while it was soaked with blood on the bottom of it, it was completely dry on top. Which, I mean, it's impossible. It's like the source of the blood was in between a half-inch, inch-thick piece of plaster. That was a hell of a long day, I'll tell you. So it's late now, it's probably like 2:30 in the morning. And Malloy and I were still in the house, looking around. We finally got a few people to come in, you know, fingerprint folks, photographers. They get their job done. Me and Malloy are standing in the kitchen. He goes, "Do you hear that?" "I did hear a thing." He goes, "There it is again." "And I hadn't heard a thing." He goes, "There it is again." I'm straining my ears right to hear what he's hearing. So I turn to look at him and I ask what he's hearing. I won't lie to you, my heart skipped a beat. See, Malloy was standing. So he was standing there, he was staring straight ahead into my eyes, but it was like he was looking through me. His face had gone completely limp, slack. And his eyes looked like they'd been turned off, like there was no life behind him. His mouth hung open like he was just totally brain dead. "Malloy?" I said. He stared through me. The point that I looked over my shoulder to make sure no one was behind me. When I turned back, Malloy was pointing to the basement door. I looked over, saw that it was closed. When I looked back again, Malloy was pointing, but the life had returned to his face. He looked normal. I asked Malloy what the hell had happened. He just said, "You didn't hear that?" I told him I hadn't. He said he needed to check the basement again. So we head over, we open the door. Only now the lights wouldn't turn on. And they worked fine the entire day, but all of a sudden now, nothing. We got our flashlights out, we head down. I ask him why we're checking the basement again. He just kept saying, "We need to check the basement again. You didn't hear that?" So we get down there and everything looks the same as it had. Same as it had all day. Tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Sounds. Tapping sound. Like they were against one of the metal racks that lined the basement walls. We shine our light. All around. There's nothing. No one. Tap, 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 tap. This time it sounds like it's on the cardboard box. "You didn't hear that?" Malloy says again. Tapping starts all around us, on the metal, it's on the cardboard, it's on the plastic, the wall, drywall, the wood, the plaster. It gets to the point that it's deafening. I shine my light all around. It eventually lands on Malloy, who had at some point moved to the corner. He had the same dead look on his face again, and he was pointing towards the ceiling just behind me. Now, I consider myself a brave man, right? But in that moment, I was about as scared as I could have been. See, I didn't want to look behind me. Felt like something was there, looking at me, waiting for me to turn around. "You didn't hear that?" Malloy says again. "You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that?" He just kept repeating it over and over and over. And he started slurring his words like he'd sound if he'd been drunk. And I'm yelling at him to shut his mouth, scared out of my mind. And so there's already been a lot of this that makes you scratch your head, you know, and you say, what the hell? And then I work up the courage enough to turn around and the Malloy was still repeating that over and over, but I turn around and I look up towards where he was pointing. And there's this spot in the plaster in the basement ceiling that was newer than the rest of it. Same size, the little door on the floor of the second level. We've been through the house more times than I can remember. Neither of us had noticed that door till now, which seemed unlikely. The tapping seems to be getting louder, faster. So I got Malloy yelling over and over. I'm so afraid. I think I might piss myself. I'm so afraid. It gets so loud, I cover my ears and start hunching over. I mean, it sounds like you could have heard it on the other side of the neighborhood. Then it stopped again. Look over to Malloy. I saw him sobbing into his hands. He walked up the basement stairs without saying a word. I wanted to get the hell out of there, but at the same time, I didn't want to skimp on my duties. So I yelled up the stairs for a few of the construction guys to come down and take down that piece of plaster that the spot was on. Then screw the screws when the side of the piece is lower than the others. It's lower than the others. A little bag slides out, falls to the floor. The bag has fingers in it. Three fingers. I remember right, they were an index, a ring, and a pinky finger. We eventually went back upstairs, and when we did, there were spots like the ones in the basement all over the place. The ceiling in the living room had stopped bleeding, but when we had more of these spots, must have been five or six on each level of the house. Inside each was bags of fingers, former pinky to thumb. We had them all tested, and far we could tell, at least some of them belonged to previous owners of the house, going back decades. Turns out everyone who lived in that house had died. One of them was by suicide, the rest were natural causes. But it was odd. All the fingers were in perfect condition, like they'd just been removed from the body. Decomp hadn't even started yet. Doesn't make goddamn sense. Malloy, that poor bastard, he quit the job the following day, refused to talk about what he had going on in his head during all that day. Tried to commit suicide twice, I know of. Now he lives with his daughter in Monterey, California. A few years after that day, I tried to check in on him from time to time, and he would apparently have these fits where he just screams, "You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that?" over and over. I was supposed to go back to the house a few days later. I showed up, and when I got to the front door, I just couldn't do it. You know, the fear set in again. I feel like I was going to pass out. I knew right from the jump this one didn't have an answer. I still did my due diligence. I did what I could to find some answers, but I refused to go back to that house. And the woman who lived there, the neighbor down the street had seen her walk in the morning that we got the call. It was several days after she'd stopped getting her mail for whatever reason, even though she was apparently home. She walked down the street and onto the main road, and we tracked her security tapes, but she turned the corner from North Avenue to 92nd Street. Just vanished. Poof. In the thin air. I wondered for a long time what happened to her. Then one day, after 7 years later, we get a tape in the mail. It had been sent to the precinct. Addresses, both me and Malloy. It was security tape from a gas station. Timestamp was a day after we'd been to her house, so the day that she'd vanished about 2 hours ago. And after the... Across the street from the gas station, some folks were doing some tree work. A woman walked up the area. These folks were doing the work. She set her purse down, her ID on top of it. She leaned forward. And she just goes head first into the wood chipper. Yeah. Messed up, right? Yeah. Even, even more messed up than that, the tape came from a gas station in Florida. It's about 1,200 miles. Never did figure out how she got from the corner of 92nd and north to Tampa Bay, Florida in under 2 hours. You know, I should probably tell you about the very first impossible case I ever had.